Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The MBTA wants to move paying for transit fully into the 21st century. They're moving towards an all-electronic system, and by 2020, that means you could tap your smartphone or credit card to pay for your fare. The T will also introduce the next generation of Charlie cards and one that will be linked to online accounts. Now, here is another big change that would come with this cashless fare-paying system. Buses, trains, and trolleys, oh, I just gave it away, would no longer accept cash payments. Now, these changes are being hailed by some as a needed step forward for the T, but other folks are worried that the modernization could disenfranchise some low-income riders. So let's talk about that. Joining me to do so is James Aloisi. He's former state transportation secretary. He's currently a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. Jim, it's good to have you back.
Nice to be back, Meghna.
Also with us is Mark Ibunya. He is the co-founder and president of Transit Matters, which advocates for better transit in Massachusetts. Mark, it's good to have you as well.
Yes, good afternoon. It's good to be here again.
Okay. So, Jim, let me just start with you. Overall, this sort of cashless fare system that the T is moving towards, good idea, right?
Well, so let me make a slight correction. It's not a cashless system. It's an excellent idea. So, and I think this is important.
It's a double correction there, but I'll take it.
Because you cannot use cash to board a bus or a light rail vehicle, but you can use cash to pay for your fare. So the system is not cashless. The system simply moves the use of cash from onboard the vehicle to either a fare machine or another point of sale.
Okay.
And by doing that, it will have the effect of allowing that bus, to board at all doors and to move a lot more quickly, giving everybody a better ride.
All right, so sounds good. I mean, Mark, honestly, I wonder why we couldn't board at all doors now. Is it really just the cash part?
Right. Well, so the biggest concern right now is that the T doesn't have a way to make sure that those people who are entering through all doors have a way to participate in that fare payment system. So this opportunity for the T is to sort of wash their hands clean of the existing system, which is very, very expensive for them to buy new hardware, which... I've been following this for a while, and the T has been interested in buying more validators, doing all of these things on the Green Line and buses to speed this up, but it's always clocked in at a really, really expensive cost. And so what we're really getting here with the system is not just all-door boarding, but also, as part of the way that they've written this contract, more ways and more opportunities for people to load their cards.
Right. And so ultimately a great thing, right, at the price tag, by the way, of, what, more than $700 million to make this complete change. But, Jim, the concern is... We can talk about all the advantages, which I want to in just a moment, but isn't the concern that if you can't pay with cash on the trolleys, trains, or buses, that you actually are also limiting the most common point of contact that people have to pay for the T, and that could lead some riders to be at a disadvantage if they don't have a cashless machine, say, at their local stop?
Well, so the reason why I support what the T is doing is that it's actually going to improve access for those very same people. And why will it do that? We're going to pretty much be doubling the number of fare machines from the current almost 500 Carly Chard machines to about 840 fare machines. Plus, we're going to have the ability to use cash at any number of what's being called retail outlets. The retail outlets can be anything from your neighborhood CVS to your neighborhood senior center or library or nonprofit center.
Yeah.
So people who use cash today can use cash tomorrow, and they'll have many, many more opportunities, probably more than double, to access a point of sale for that. So this is going to improve access, not diminish it. And so if you are using cash, you're going to have two benefits. Your access to the fare machine is going to be improved, and your ride when you get on the bus is going to be improved.
I do want to acknowledge the concern of a lot of other advocates out there, including ourselves, about the way that the MBTA is communicating this. And this does need to be done in a way that ensures that those people who are never touching the subway, for example, those low-income riders who are only using the buses, that they know when and where they're able to load these their Charlie cards to add fare in the language that they may be speaking, which may not necessarily be English.
Good point, because this is an extraordinarily important point, Mark, because it suddenly occurred to me that right now there are places, certain convenience stores, if I remember correctly.
A few of them.
That
just
you
few.
Could, right now, that you could actually add fare through cash to your Charlie card at certain stores right now. But
right.
Hardly anybody knows about them because there aren't, I don't recall seeing giant signs outside of those stores saying, here, you can load up your card.
Right, right. And that's big. The big point that that Jim is trying to get to, which is that right now, again, the equipment is very expensive and very expensive for those bodegas to license.
Yeah.
So by having the equipment be cheaper and more and be written into the contract that there need to be more retail outlets, that you'll have more of them in your neighborhood. And I think an opportunity for us advocates is to make sure that the T is making sure that those are being communicated effectively to the people in the neighborhoods.
And Megna, I want to make a point, if I can, which is the RFP is does require that the contractor comply with very, very rigorous metrics. So, for example, the Silver Line 4 and 5 buses have to have a fare vending machine within 500 feet of every bus stop. Zone 1A, which encompasses the Fairmont line, again, through a disadvantaged community, has to have fare vending machines within a certain radius. There is also a metric that that basically says 80% of the people standing in line to use a machine have to have a 1 minute or less wait. And if they don't, then you have to put in more machines.
Mm.
So there's a variety of metrics that they will hold the contractor accountable for that are designed to improve convenience and access. And I think the combination of this improved access and improved bus service is going to equal better social and modal equity. Because
yeah.
The thing that we need to do more in this region is show people across all spectrums that we can improve the quality and the reliability of the bus transit service. That's the next horizon in front of us. This new fare program will help us get there.
Right. You know, I was just looking at my notes here, and just to close the loop on what we were talking about, retail Charlie cards sales a little earlier. The Globe reported a while ago that the T, with its current system, had actually had some limited success with agreements with retailers, because a lot of them dropped out because they just earned, 1.8% commission for offering the service at their bodega, and that the Globe says that currently 160 retailers still provide the service for the T. But you're both saying that that number should go up significantly.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, Jim, about this idea of sort of reducing idle time for buses, and specifically buses, but also trains, and getting things moving more quickly and efficiently, reducing those dwell times, in other words.
Yeah.
We actually spoke with Kimberly Barzola. She's an organizer for the T Riders Union, and she said, you know, that might be great, but saving riders a few seconds on their rides isn't necessarily high on their list of concerns. So here's what she said.
It's maybe a few more seconds, but that really isn't affecting why a bus is just not showing up all of a sudden. There's not enough buses coming per hour, or by the time the bus gets to you, it's already completely at capacity. Those issues aren't going to be addressed, you know, just by saving, you know, a few seconds.
Mark, what's your thought about that? Then I'll turn to Jim.
Yeah, sure. So buses spend actually up to a quarter of their time just sitting at the curb loading people onto the buses. And yes, while a few seconds here and there may not be so great for, you know, the everyday rider, a lot of those buses are unproductive. That is to say that they are just sitting stuck in traffic. So yeah, absolutely. The new fare system is not going to solve all the problems, but it is part of a number of different initiatives that the T is now engaged with. One of those being working with municipalities to make sure that buses that are full of passengers get priority over just general traffic, because those are the most productive vehicles on the road right now.
Yeah, and I know, Jim, that's something that you've been advocating for a long time.
Well, sure.
I was going to give you a chance to respond to what Kim Barzola told us, but we're running out of time, Jim, so then there's one more thing, important thing I want to get to. So, I'm just executive decision here. Sorry about that. But the thing, the potential that this new fare collection system could provide the T in the future, and, you know, I'm thinking of things like they'll know where they could know potentially where passengers get on and off, right? Because you could do a tap out system as well.
Use that, sure.
Yeah. And then could that help the T move towards, I don't know, some sort of zoning when it comes to fare paying?
Yeah.
Well, it could. And again, I just want to underscore, this is one step and only one step in the direction toward improving the bus transit experience for T riders. As Mark is right. All door boarding and no cash on board are important steps. Additional important steps include clearly dedicated lanes where cities and towns within the T service area have to cooperate with the T. With bus rapid transit, there are a variety and transit signal priority where the light turns green when the bus approaches. We need to employ and deploy all of those initiatives and strategies to make the bus system work the way it should.
Yeah.
But this system, I want to underscore, is the right step at the right time. It's not going to disenfranchise anybody, in my view, and I care about these issues deeply.
Yeah.
It's going to improve access and equity, and it's going to be the platform that I think allows advocates like Mark and myself to make the case that now is also the time that we need to accelerate dedicated bus lanes.
Yeah.
And signal priority to make the system function at a high level.
Well, Jim Aloisi, former State Transportation Secretary and principal at the Pemberton Square Group and a frequent contributor with us here at Radio Boston on all things MBTA. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Magna.
And Mark Ibunya, co-founder and president of Transit Matters. Great to have you, Mark. Looking forward to doing it again.
Of course. Thank you so much.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.